Did you pick up that accent when he spoke to me?
Some of you older folks, you know, before I was saved, I was saved late in life. I was 47 when I received Christ. But back when I was younger, I used to be on a TV show. Some of y'all might remember me being on TV, especially some of you older folks. I used to be Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies, if y'all remember that. So when I got saved, God called me to preach and to be a missionary, because God chooses the foolishness of preaching to carry the gospel. So don't have to be, it didn't say you have to be a good preacher. It just said you have to preach. So I'm not a good preacher in the States, but I am in Mongolia and Thailand, because they don't understand my accent over there. Over here, everybody don't hear what I have to say. They just listen to me talk. Go, what did he say? I don't understand it. But in Mongolia, they think I have a British accent. They don't know accents. They think I'm British over there. So today, just imagine I'm King Charles up here talking to you instead of a hillbilly from Tennessee. So it's good to be here today. I really appreciate you guys continuing our support and your prayer for us when my dad passed away. Who remembers Tommy Tillman? If you can, he's the one that started this ministry. He was a great man. He was my dad, though, which I look at him a little different than you do. He's never whipped you, but he has me. So I look at him in a little different light than you do. He was really a good man of God, a great missionary. So I didn't go to school to learn to be a missionary. I worked under Tommy Tillman for several years before he passed away. And God used him in my life to kind of teach me how to be a foreign missionary. But before I get started, though, I want to thank all of you for the years of continued support after Dad passed away. I had to write it down. When you get my age, you forget real easy. So I want to thank you for the generous love offering that you put in the envelope that we got last night from you to help cover our expenses while we're traveling, while we're here. We appreciate that. Do y'all know that we're in a hotel room? I don't know if y'all know that or not, but it's a really good one. It's over here. It's a really nice hotel. And for you missionaries, you folks who go to church here, you don't understand. Sometimes we missionaries get put in some strange places. And I've stayed in a lot of Super 8s and Big 6s and have to listen to gunshots during the night. But we appreciate you putting us in a really nice place, because we've got a really good bed. We just got back from Mongolia recently. Mongolia beds are a piece of plywood with a sheet on it. So I've been used to sleeping on those, but we're in a really good bed, and I appreciate that. Last night, we had a dinner here for you folks that didn't come, and they cooked international food. And whoever cooked the Mongolian food, if you're here, raise your hand who did the Mongolian stuff. Any just you by yourself? Oh, two. I'm sorry, I didn't see you back there. Two of you? My wife, who's Mongolian, was bragging on it. I actually got like three servings of it. So you did a really good job. And when a Mongolian says it's good food, it's good food. So we appreciate that. And the fruit basket. I ate all the grapes last night before I went to bed. And we appreciate that, too. So I want to bring a lesson. I looked at my lesson. It wants me to bring a missions lesson, which as a missionary that goes around to different missions conferences, we have a lot of those that we have, and I want to bring one to you this morning, because if you read in Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 24, you don't have to turn there. You're welcome to turn there if you want. But when we assemble ourselves together, it's our job to provoke one another into love and good works. That's what we're here for. A fully grown church is one that has a world view. And I'm not just talking about foreign missionaries. I want to bring you a lesson today. We need local missionaries, too. As we travel the world, we work in Mongolia and Thailand. And I'm saying this with all love, because I love the United States of America. I'm as patriotic as they come. But that flag right there needs more missionaries than where I go. God called me to Mongolia and Thailand, but we need American missionaries. So when I'm in churches in America, I promote that, because everybody in here cannot go out and take off to Mongolia. Everybody here can't go to Mexico, or you just moved back from Canada. We just can't do that. God don't give us the means or the ways, but he wants us all to be missionaries here where we live. That's the mission field right outside that door, and we have no reason not to be, because we can be missionaries here for free. We don't need money. We don't need to go on deputation. We don't need to raise support, but we can reach the lost people right here in this country. And I'm saying that because I got saved at 47. I've never had anybody witness to me. I've never had anybody. Y'all heard about who Jehovah's Witnessing knocking on your doors? I've never had one knock on my door. I've never been approached by somebody with a gospel tract. And I lived and grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm from Tennessee, but I grew up in Birmingham, right in the middle of the Bible Belt. Never had anybody witness to me. I was a body shop manager. I was an old car painter. I grew up in body shops. And I would meet 20, when I was a manager of a large body shop, I'd meet 20, 30 people a day. And I would see their cars, and I would see a John 3:16 on their tag. Or I'd get in their car, move their car in the shop, and I'd see a Bible on the front seat. I've never had, and I've met them, talked to them in my office. Never had one of them witness to me. Never had anybody ask me if I was saved. And I was even provocative. I had one lady one time tell me that I needed to go to church. And I was lost. I grew up in church. My mother and daddy were great, great Christian people. My dad was a good Christian man. My mother, too. Actually, my mother was more outgoing Christian than my dad was. She just didn't do like come on the mission field. But she said, you need to go to church. And I said, what do I need to go to church for? And she go, you just need to go there and talk to my preacher. And I go, you can't talk to me? Why don't you talk to me? Why do I have to go to your church? Well, you just need to talk to my preacher. So see, we need more of us talking to people, not sending people to this building. Lost people don't want to come here. This is where saved people come. So we need to go outside this building in this country, in this city, and reach the lost. I was leaving our hotel room this morning, and place full of people, man. Everybody in there got shorts and t-shirts. You were over there, Brother Hammond. Nobody's going to church. Nobody cares. They got all kind of stuff. And going to church don't save you, but going to church is a fruit of salvation. When you're a saved person, you should love coming to church and enjoy hanging out with other Christians and hearing a good sermon, singing and worshiping God. But going, it's hard to get an unsaved person into church. And I teach that in Mongolia, that we need to go outside the church and witness to people and lead them to the Lord and bring them into the assembly. Even though sinners are welcome, always welcome into service. We love to see people come in and slot, because maybe that's where they'll hear the gospel when they come to visit in church. But a lot of times church people, when they come in, have different motives. They're here because their girlfriend asked them, or their boyfriend, or there's a meal after the service, and they want to stay for that good food. And I understand that too, because when I was lost, that's why I went to church. I would go to church periodically because there was some girl in there I liked, or they were giving away food. But the Bible says that the unnatural man cannot understand the things of God. So we need to get personal with people where they see Christ in us, and we need to witness to people. And we need to do that everywhere we go in this country. We don't have to start an organization. We don't have to raise money for an organization, but we encounter lost people all day long in our life. So it's very important that we show Christ in us and that we witness those people. I mean that with all my heart. You don't have to be bold to do that. And I'm going to bring you a lesson here in just a minute. Bear with me. When you meet me, this is what I tell people. When I got saved at 47, I was a very sinful man. I grew up in deep sin. I'm not going to go into detail. I can give my testimony later. But when I was 18, I just ran from the Lord. I'm just a typical prodigal son story. And there's a lot of those. That's really a big part of most people's life, is we grow up in the Lord and we leave and go out and do our own life. Live our own life, and I was 47 when I got tired of me. People say, when did you get saved? I say, when I came to the end of myself. When I got tired of being in charge of my life, I'd made a wreck of it, and I was saved, and I fell in love with Jesus Christ. I just fell in love with him. I'm not a guy that likes to travel. I didn't want to go to Mongolia because I wanted to see the world. I didn't do that. I went to Mongolia, and this part of my lesson, guys, that I'm going to bring today. I went to Mongolia because what Christ did for me on the cross, I wanted to do something for him. And I fell in love with him, and I thought, well, my dad's a missionary. I forgot all about dad being a missionary because I didn't have a good relationship with my dad. I was a lost man, so I didn't get around him a whole lot. I stayed away from him. I'd see him at Christmas once a year, and I lived in a different city than he did. I always did after I grew up. So I'd go see him at Christmas and hang out with him a little bit, him and my mother. But when I got saved, I called my dad. I said, Dad, I've been saved. I want you to baptize me. So I went down to South Mississippi where the ministry used to be, down in Waveland, Mississippi on the coast. Dad baptized me at Calvary Baptist Church. And then I said, I want to go with you on a missions trip. Can I go with you to Thailand and Mongolia? He said, oh, I'd love it, son. So I went to Thailand, Mongolia, and God called me to the country of Mongolia. I went there because I love the Lord, and I met people who never heard the name of Jesus, and I just couldn't believe that there was people in the world that still hadn't heard the name of Christ with all the missionaries that we encountered. And I thought, well, I've never even met a missionary to Mongolia. How many of y'all know a Mongolian missionary? Raise your hand. There's one or two. Yeah, one. It's a country of 3 million people. I only know probably 3 Baptist missionaries in Mongolia. There's a lot of other missionaries there, the Mormons. They're covered up with Mormon missionaries. A lot of false teachers there, the Jehovah's Witness, the Seventh-day Adventists are there, but not too many Baptists. I was amazed at that there was no missionaries in that country. People never heard the gospel. So I went there solely to tell people about Christ, the same thing we should do here. Our job is to share the gospel and people see Christ in us. That's just our job. And at last, till the Lord comes back or we die. That's just part of being a Christian. It's real simple. There's nothing else to it. Very simplistic. That's what we do. I had a lady when I got saved, I went to a missions conference in Maryland. And she said, well, how long? You know, when I got saved in 6 months, I was living in Mongolia on the mission field. You believe that? Thanks to Tommy Tillman, everybody knows Dad. And I started putting my prayer letters in his prayer letters. I had churches start supporting me, sight unseen, because of him. And I praise God because of my dad, I was able to do that. But I do not recommend going to the mission field after being saved only 6 months. I don't recommend it. It worked for me, but I don't know why it shouldn't have. But God made it work for me. I met my wife over there. We weren't married then. We worked together for about a year, year and a half, and got married. And the rest of it, I'll bring that up Monday. When if y'all come back, I'll tell you about the ministry Monday. But I only went to Mongolia because I love the Lord. This lady said, what are you going to do in Mongolia? You've only been saved 6 months. I said, I'm going to tell people what Jesus did for me. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to be a big preacher. I don't know the Bible real well, but I know Christ, and I just want to tell people about Jesus, that's all. And God used that to work for me. But let me give you an example, then I'm going to bring a lesson to you today. When I meet you, I'm going to tell you about my wife. You might know me for 5 minutes. The first minute, I'm going to explain where I got this crazy accent at, because everybody asked me about it. The second thing I'm going to explain to you is I'm a Christian. The third thing I'm going to tell you about my wife, because I love my wife, and she takes up all of my thoughts and my heart. So when she's not with me and you meet me, I'm going to tell you about my wife. I'll show you a picture of her because I think she's wonderful. That should be the same thing when we meet people about Christ, what's in her heart. Bible says what's in a man's heart comes out of his mouth. That's very true. When I was a lost person, in about 2 minutes, you knew I drank because I'd invite you out to have a drink with me. So when I'm saved, I'm going to tell you about Christ and my wife, the two people I love with all my heart in this world, is Christ and my wife. That's what we should do. We shouldn't even be nervous to do that because being a Christian is who we are. It's not what we do, but it's who you become. When you repent and invite the Lord into your heart, you become a Christian. I remember when I got saved, when I was lost, I would get up in the morning, take a shower, and I'd get ready for work, and I'd look in the mirror and go, Mitch Tillman drunk. That's what I thought about myself. And then when I got saved, I would look at myself in the mirror and go, Mitch Tillman Christian. That's hard to get used to at 47. Being a Christian, I was one of those things of people I hated. I didn't like Christians. But God changed my heart when I got saved. He took my heart and flipped it upside down and made me a new creature in Christ, turned me from that old alcoholic car painter into a born-again child of God. And when I meet people, I tell them about Christ because I'm desperately in love. I love him for what he did for me. He made a way for me to have a relationship with God, the creator of all things. You believe that we have a relationship with God? The person that just speaks and planets are born. That guy. We have a relationship with him because of what Christ did on the cross. And when we have a relationship with our maker who made us, it's a great thing, isn't it? So we need to tell everybody about that. Joyfully tell everybody, I want people to have what I have. I want people to have this salvation that I have. And fear of death, no more. I don't fear death. Think about it, especially when you get my age, you think about it a lot. But there's no fear of what's going to happen to me when I die. Bible says in Hebrews 2 that Christ, when it's talking about why Christ came, says that he came to free people that's been enslaved to the fear of death for their whole life. And God freed me from that at the age of 47. I am no longer a slave to fear. And I love the Lord for doing that for me, what he did for me. If you have your Bibles, open up to Nehemiah, I'm sorry. I'm going to give just a little Bible lesson today. And I hope it's a mission lesson. And for us older folks, I want to tell all of us older folks in here, you know who you are. I'm not going to call you out by name. I want to thank all of you young folks and your older folks, because if you're giving to missionaries and you're praying for missionaries, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. That's what God, you have senders and goers, and we're a team. We're a partnership, and you might not feel, well, I don't do what you do. Yes, you do. Without you, we couldn't do nothing. Without Christ, we couldn't do anything. The Holy Spirit motivates us, but we're also motivated by compassion, okay? And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I'm going to go to Nehemiah. Everybody knows the story of Nehemiah, especially if you grew up in church. You've seen flannel graph stories as a kid, and I don't know if they still have flannel graph stories or not. We have those in Mongolia. They're all leftovers that we use over there. But we know about Nehemiah as a kid. And we know what he did, all the great things that he did. He went back to Jerusalem, man. He just cleaned that place up. I mean, he rebuilt the walls and the gate, and he organized the place. He went up against all kind of opposition, and God really used him. And you think, well, why would a guy do that? Why would a guy? He was the cupbearer for the king. You realize what a prestigious job that would be? Be a dangerous job. But I guarantee you, he was a friend of the king and was close to the king, or the king wouldn't have trusted him to do that. So that he left and gave all of that up to go back to a place that didn't have, was just tore up from being ravaged. Just nothing there. But he left and gave all that up to go back to Jerusalem, to Israel, and fix all that stuff. But we're not going to go through, but I want to focus today on Nehemiah chapter 1. And after he heard the first three verses of chapter 1, he heard about all, he asked about what was going on back in Jerusalem, and they said, oh, it's terrible over there. The walls are all tore down, the gates all burned, it's just totally in disarray. But let's look at Nehemiah chapter 4, and let's look at verse 1, chapter 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. When he heard what he heard, he sat down and wept, and he mourned. And certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When Nehemiah heard these things, it broke his heart. It broke his heart enough where that he sat down and cried. That's how brokenhearted he was. Now, I don't know if men cried easy back in those days, but it's hard to get me to cry over something. It has to be a death of my mother, my father, my children, something bad happened to them. But Nehemiah sat down and cried over what he heard about what was going on there. So I want to challenge you today with this short Bible lesson that I want to give about missions. And I think, and for my personal self, this is how it worked with me. I don't want y'all to think that I'm bragging about me or our work, but I'm the only person I know that I can relate this story to. I don't know Brother Hamby or Brother Guzman. I don't know how they feel about things, but I know how I felt and how I feel as a Christian man about missions work when I was called there. And I'm not promoting you to go to a foreign field. I'm promoting you to use this same logic and this same Bible theology to do missions work right here in Virginia, where that there's a great need here for missions too. But when I went to Mongolia on a missions trip with my dad, I'd never been outside our country. My dad was a missionary to Mexico when we were kids growing up, and he would travel over the border. He was not a missionary that just went all and stayed in Mexico. He got a job in El Paso, Brownsville, and San Antonio. We used to live in those three places when I was a young kid. But I remember them very well. And Dad would travel over the border, and they planted a church in Mexico. And so I've never been, as much as I've been out of the country, was a couple of trips with him to Mexico when I was a kid. And so I never been out of the country, so I never seen things. We don't see things in foreign countries that you, there's things in foreign countries you don't see here that you'll never see here. Unless you go deep into the ghetto, you see some bad stuff, but it's dangerous here when you go down in those places. You might wind up getting shot down there. But in Mongolia, that's a natural way of life. I went to Thailand with Dad on a missions trip to work. He was working with the lepers back then. I'll talk about that Monday night too, possibly. And so I wasn't called. God didn't call me to Thailand because it was just too nice for me. I was a sinner when I got saved, and I wanted to go somewhere and suffer for the Lord, buddy. So I went to Mongolia, and that was 23 years ago. Mongolia's changed a lot now. My wife gets mad at me if I talk bad about Mongolia. But I'm not talking bad about it. It was just the way it was 23 years ago. And when I went to Mongolia 23 years ago, I was a new Christian with this fire and energy in my heart that I wanted to do something for the Lord. I saw things that I'd never seen before. One of the things that we saw was we went to the city landfill because a lot of people lived there, and they still do. And a lot of people lived in that city landfill. They didn't live there to make money. They lived there to eat the garbage because there was no money to be made there back in those days. They didn't collect aluminum and bottles like they do now. Japanese have bought that landfill now and make a living out of it. They hire those people a couple dollars a day to pick that garbage up and recycle. So they actually make money on it. But back then, it was a place for poor people to live. And I remember we went out there to preach to those lot of people that live in that area. And there was hundreds of them used to live in the city landfill. I remember going there when I was first saved on a missions trip. And there was a little kid that had lived out there that come out from under a cardboard box. It was 30 below zero. And this kid was living there eating garbage. They would take the animal bones and boil them soft and eat them. And I'd never seen nothing like that. I'd never laid my eye. Growing up in America, I'd never seen that. And when I saw that, it broke my heart. I mean, that was one of the things that got me to the mission field, was I had a broken heart over that. So with that broken heart, with the Holy Spirit, and with churches like y'all, we were able to go to Mongolia when I went there and started a center called the Hope Center, where we feed 50 children a day from that landfill and teach them Bible. We teach them about Jesus. And we've been doing that now for 18 or 20 years. We've been doing that. We have a lot of children don't get saved. I'm not saying they all do. But we have just hundreds of children who's come through there that profess salvation, that go out and get out of that stuff. God lifts them up out of there and takes them out and makes them regular citizens where they go to church and pay taxes. And God allowed us to do that, but it started with a broken heart. That's where it started. It just broke my heart, and I actually cried when I saw that. And then when we first went to Mongolia with my dad, there was a lot of street children back in those days. And me and Dad stayed in a motel in downtown Ulaanbaatar my first day there. And we woke up about 6 a.m., and I was looking out the window of the motel next to the communist parliament house there. And there was hundreds of children about 6 in the morning, about 30 below zero. And they had been staying underground in that city next to the heat pipes that run underground. And they were very street children, very poor. They would come out of the from underground and beg money all day and try to steal and just to eat. And I saw that. I saw children as small as these two children here. There were no parents, no family, living on the street, coming out of those sewer pipes, not sewer pipes, but heat pipes down underground. And that, I couldn't stand to look at it. It broke my heart. I just couldn't do it. So me and my wife went to Mongolia together with my dad and churches, and we started children's feeding centers. We have where we teach Bible and feed poor children. We feed poor children 300 a day in different villages in the Gobi and in the city. And we have an orphanage there that God allowed us to start because of what I saw those children going through. They were homeless, no families. And God allowed us to start an orphanage where we have about 40 or 50 children. Now that we've adopted over 250 children, international to different countries and the local parents. And God allowed us to do that because we started that ministry, I want you to understand, with a broken heart. If I had not seen that and had my heart broken, I would have never done that. So God used that to start a broken with my broken heart. And I want to finish up with this example because this is what should motivate you in America. I went to with my dad and my wife. She was just our translator then. And I went out with her to the Gobi Desert. If y'all know where the Gobi's at, y'all know where the Gobi Desert is? It's a big desert in between. It's in China, Mongolia, and Kazakhstan. So it's a pretty big desert, but it's a cold desert. It's not a hot desert. It's 40, 50 below zero during the winter. And mild and moderate temperature during the summer. Might get up to 80. Two hump camels, nomads living scattered out about 20 kilometers apart from each other. And they put, if you look on my board back there, they put, they live in yurts. We call them gurs in Mongolia. And that's where they live with their animals. And they raise their animals, they eat them, sell them. And with the skins and meat, they buy rice and sugar and flour. And so they live free. They have no restraints, no laws. They just live all over the desert and all over North Mongolia. So we went out there to a village where Dad and my wife and her father had started a hospital, free hospital to the nomads. And we've since expanded on that, and I'll talk about that Monday. But we started a feeding center there, but when on the way out there, we would stop at the gurs, at the yurts, and we would meet people out that lived in those gurs out in the middle of the Gobi, the nomads. And we would witness to them, and they had never heard the name of Christ. They've never heard of a Bible. They didn't believe in God. They had never heard the name of Jesus. And I remember a young lady about the size of your daughter, a little girl that size. She came out of one of those girls, had these little cute red cheeks, and we asked her and her parents if she had ever heard of Jesus, and she said no. And I thought, my goodness, that little girl is going to grow up, die, and go to hell. And that just did something to me, thinking that we, as Christians, have the power in our hearts and our mouth to tell her about Christ. And nobody had been there to tell her. And that just broke my heart, that little girl and all the other children, the adults we met, were going to die and go to hell without Christ. And that's what motivated me to become a missionary to Mongolia. And God allowed us, when we did go there as a missionary, to plant 5 churches in the capital city and in the Gobi Desert. We've trained local pastors that are pastoring those churches. Now, these are people that we led to the Lord and discipled. We didn't teach them how to preach. God does that, right, brother? But Mongolia does not have any Bible books that explains the Bible. Well, we teach all of our pastors how to rightly divide the word. And I think that's crucially important. And when you grow up in an independent Baptist church, let me tell you this, and I'm going to close. I grew up Baptist, and let me give you a little boost of encouragement. I grew up in independent Baptist, and when I got saved, I didn't want to be one. I didn't like the Baptist. I didn't like that. Growing up as a lost person in a Christian independent Baptist home, I didn't like them. I didn't have nothing to do with them. But when I started praying and studying Bible and studying Bible doctrines, I went into it with a negative mind towards Baptist. I didn't want no parts. I was looking for ways not to be one, understand? I was going, hey, I'm going to have this. Look what this said. Hey, you know, all that. But God showed me that we're as close to right as you can be. I don't think that there's another denomination that actually divides the Bible like we do, which I believe is truthfully, because the Holy Spirit tells me that it lives in my heart. So when I teach pastors, we teach them biblical doctrines that actually go on the line of what Baptists believe. And we had a girl that come back, that came over with a medical missions trip this last time, and she was a non-denominational. And she told me that her and her husband wants to come to Mongolia and work with us. I said, I like you. I think y'all are great people. You can't work my ministry. I'm sorry. I just can't allow that. I've been over 20-something years teaching these people certain particular doctrines, and I can't allow somebody to come in and teach a different doctrine. So I want y'all to feel rest assured that Mitch Tillman thinks you're in the correct church, and you're being taught correct doctrines. So I want to close with this, okay? When I was lost, and I'm here to inspire you and try to get you motivated to do more for the Lord personally, I want you to continue to give to missions because we really need your help. But when I was lost, I lived with a girl that was a drug addict. She wasn't a girlfriend. She was just a friend of mine. We shared rent and everything. And she would spend all of her money on drugs. And then Monday, she was a very blasphemous girl. She would call the Methodist church down the street and they'd bring her a sack of bread, bring her a sack of groceries for her to eat all week. And when she'd leave, she'd make fun of them. She'd go, look, them bunch of idiots. I spend all my money and they bring me food. They're a bunch of idiots. But you know who was looking at those people? I was. I was looking at them thinking, man, those Christians are good folks, man. God was using that on me. That was part of the things that was happening in my life that brought me to Christ at the age of 47. So I want you to understand we can never give up on doing good works. Even if people don't appreciate it, they don't think it's good, they think you're crazy, they don't like you, we still have to continue it because God's using you for somebody to look at you and listen to you. Okay? So I want to, and all around this, from me being a former sinner at an old age, all around this church right now, I guarantee you that there's people right now as we speak smoking meth, doing fentanyl somewhere in these houses. Drug addictions, alcohol and drugs are so rampant in our country. If you don't live in that life, you don't understand it. You don't know that because you're not exposed to that stuff. But I will promise you it's right here within a stone's throw of this church. Okay? And in America, needs Christ. There's poor people in this country that we need to have compassion on. There's people in this country we need to care about their eternal soul because they're dying and going to hell. Okay? Right now. You don't have to go to Mongolia to find them. They're right here. So I want to leave you with a question, okay? And I want to ask you this. I want you to think about this. What breaks your heart? Does anything that you see or hear about in your community or in this city or anywhere, does it break your heart? And the next question I want to leave with is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to do something about that broken heart like Nehemiah did? So I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
I guess this is as good as time as any to remind you. Our Christmas offering this year is...